Welcome to the Authors Line, interviews and insights with featured authors and writers.
Mike Malevsky here in Palmer, Alaska at Radio Free Palmer, and Alan Zola Kronczyk, are you there?
I am here.
Tell me where here is. Where are you calling from?
The old whaling community of Sag Harbor, Long Island.
Oh, I grew up across the water, actually, in Connecticut. So I'm familiar with Long Island Sound and that area. But we're here to talk about something more than the location. We're talking about Grandpa Magic, which is a recent book that you have produced. I had an opportunity to begin reading it, and I was fascinated by how drawn into wanting to practice those easier tricks and magic pieces that were at the beginning. I understand, maybe you could share with listeners your history with magic, if you will, in a quick summary.
Well, in a quick summary, I got hooked when I was about 8 years old. A combination of three factors. A friend of my uncle's, who I would see every other week or so, who knew one and only one magic trick, which was taking a penny and holding it between his fingers, snapping his fingers, and it was gone. And I had no clue, and he would torture me with this trick week after week and never explain it. So I was very curious. I got a magic kit from my parents, a Gilbert Misto magic set, and got hooked on the methods and the fantasies of power, you know, making things disappear into thin air, walking through walls, which I never learned to do. And then when I was in the Cub Scouts, we had a blue and gold banquet that had a magician, and that kind of cemented it. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to just do amazing stuff and have superpowers. So the magic kit was my start, and then from there I graduated to the public library, where I learned tricks from magic. And then as a teenager, I got to be a junior member of the International Brotherhood of Magicians Pittsburgh chapter, where I grew up. And I learned more and more from books, and it just never stopped. And eventually, you know, I went to college first as a theater major and then an English major. And when I graduated, I renewed my interest in magic and then started to write about it and did an introductory kids book. And then it just took off from there. So I've been learning and performing ever since.
I notice also listed here is another New York Times bestseller, The Sorcerer's Companion, that you wrote with your daughter. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, one of the great experiences of my life, writing a best-selling book with my daughter. She is a historian by training. And when we read the Harry Potter books, we began reading them at the beginning of the series. So by book four, we recognized that a lot of the magic in Harry Potter, things like curses and spells and potions, magic wands, magical creatures, all of these things have backgrounds in history and folklore and mythology going back thousands of years. But J.K. Rowling used a lot of this background, but naturally she didn't stop the flow of the stories just to explain the background. It's just there. So the idea behind The Sorcerer's Companion was to give readers a richer experience where they can look up any of these magical ideas that J.K. Rowling did not invent but researched and used, and find out where they came from and how old they are and what the variations were. So the book is called The Sorcerer's Companion, and it's an encyclopedic guide to the real sources of the folklore and history and real magical practices behind the Harry Potter lore.
You've described your daughter as an historian. Does she also do some magic?
Amazingly, no. she was very interested in learning how magic worked, but she was never interested in performing.
How about that?
You know.
Well, let's cycle back to the book we're talking about, Grandpa Magic, which you note is available to grandmas, too. They can practice this.
Yes, they certainly can.
And I was taken particularly by the way you presented a rationale for maybe wanting to work with this if you're a person, an adult person, in the company of younger people who have been attracted and sometimes become obsessed with electronic devices. And did that come from your own experience, or describe how you came up with that theme?
Really, part of it was just day after day seeing people in public places, and, you know, parents and their kids, whether they're in a restaurant or just standing or going for a walk, being on their phones and just not relating to each other. And the way the book came about really is by, I do a lot of social performing for friends and at parties. And for years, people have been coming up to me afterwards and say, "Hey, man, oh, that was really great. I love that. Can you please teach me something I can show the grandkids? And so I did. And then my wife said, "You know, there's a lot of these people who want to learn to do this. Why don't you write a book about it?" So that's what I did. The core idea was to give grandparents something they can bring to the table in the relationship with a grandkid besides slipping them a $5 bill or taking them out for an ice cream cone. You know, you can build a relationship. And the idea of getting them off their phones is kind of secondary, but quite an actual problem for grandparents and parents in general. And getting them off the phone is really not as difficult as it seems, or you would think. Basically, I think all you have to do is say, "Can I show you something amazing? Or would you like to see a magic trick? Or, hey, I'm learning magic. Can I show you something I'm working on?" The answer to all those questions is going to be yes. And, all right, I'll put down my phone for a second. Now, if you can deliver the goods by showing them something amazing and really entertaining and something that knocks their socks off, you're going to have a real human interaction with them that's much more rich than what they're getting on the phone.
So I'm going to guess that you have a rather large collection of magic that you have accumulated over the years. How do you focus adding on? What's the method you use for either improving upon or adding other forms of magic to what you do? How do you do that?
I do it primarily through reading.
Okay.
There is a huge magic literature. There are new magic books every week. A lot of these are not available in your local bookstore, but are privately printed and sold through magic dealers. So, I put one out just before this book, a book called Artful Deceptions, which is a book of my card magic. That happens to be a personal interest of mine, card magic. So I read a lot of card magic books.
Okay.
And the more you read and the more techniques you have and principles you have accessible to you, the more you can figure out how to use them in your own way and do recombining and come up with your own tricks. So that's where my pleasure comes with keeping up with magic and inventing it, is reading it, reading about it. But there are these days many resources that somebody can go to. There's a lot of online magic. There are a lot of online magic stores. There are downloads. There are DVDs. When I was growing up, it was all books. But now there are many, many ways to learn and expand your repertoire. And some of the tricks, are apparatus, things that you buy.
Right.
And other things are just skills that you learn, which is my preference. None of the magic in Grandpa Magic requires anything from a magic store or any advanced preparation. It's all stuff you can do with things that are handy: cards, coins, drinking straws, rubber bands, things at the dinner table. That's a kind of impromptu, spontaneous magic that I prefer.
So one last question. Thinking of adults and younger kids, what do you see as the difference in terms of the kind of magic you use with one versus the other group?
Well, with the kids, I divide them into believers and skeptics. You know, the believers are pretty much the seven and under set.
Got it.
So if you pull a coin out of the air and then you drop it in your hand and make it disappear, a lot of those kids are going to believe that you have the power to do this for real. You know, and if you take a dinner napkin and with a few folds turn it into a little bunny puppet, they're going to interact with that bunny puppet like it's real. They'll stroke its head and pull its ears. And so those are the believers. And the tricks that are for them are visual tricks that just amaze or involve them in a hands-on way.
Got it.
With the older kids, you know, you do a nice coin routine. They know it's a trick. They know you don't have superpowers. But the fact that they are baffled and amazed and want to know how to do it is enough to keep their attention. And so for them, you know, for the older kids, I like to do a fair amount of card magic, which can be very sophisticated. And the kids don't have a clue. And the card magic in the books, a lot of it is very easy to do. Some of it's based on mathematical principles and other clever methods. And many people don't realize that often the simplicity of a method has very little to do with how impactful or amazing it can be. The simplest secrets can fool very, very smart people. And that's a cool thing about magic. When you're starting out, you can amaze and baffle sophisticated, intelligent adults with very simple tricks.
Got it. Mike Malevsky here at Radio Free Palmer in Palmer, Alaska, and I've been talking with Alan Zola Kronchek. And last comments before we finish up, anything you want to add?
I'd love people to visit grandpamagic.net.
Okay.
And if you go there, you can dip into the books. You can dip into the Harry Potter book, The Sorcerer's Companion. You can learn several of the tricks from Grandpa Magic, like how to pull any small object out of thin air. And you'll learn various ways you can order the books. And you can look at my other books and my programs and get in touch if you care to.
All right. Thank you very much for taking time to talk with us today.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yep.
It's a pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Author's Line on Big Cabbage Radio, broadcasting from Palmer, Alaska. You can find the podcast at radiofreepalmer.org. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.